Live, 855 450 free. That's the SACL toll-free call-in line here, 855-450-3733. Free Talk Live is live 7 days a week, not just Sunday nights, but 7 days a week. You can find us at freetalklive.com. We have all kinds of listening options there for you. We are on 109 wonderful radio stations around the country. We have a live stream, of course, at freetalklive.com. You can listen there. We have satellite options, free to air, and we're on XM. Thanks to XM for hosting us. There's the webcam at cam.freetalklive.com. You can listen there and interact with chatters. And see what's going on in the studio. And, of course, the listen lines. We have telephone numbers that you can call in and listen to the show. If there's no other way for you to listen, you know, this is the way to do it. It's all of that can be found at listen.freetalklive.com. The website is interactive. You can upload stories and blog posts and things that are important to you. You can vote other people's up. They can vote yours up. You guys can vote each other's down. It's one big voting mania over there at Free Talk Live. freetalklive.com. Let's go to this interesting story. A class action suit has been says that Florida Highway Patrol has been illegally ticketing motorists who warn others about speed traps. I never knew anything about this, but let me go on here. When the
because you lived in Florida for several years, right?
But I thought that this practice was completely legal.
So you were aware that they were doing it, but you thought it was legal?
No. I didn't know that they were ticketing anyone for this, and I didn't know that they could ticket anyone for this, because I thought that this practice, and I'll explain it to you in just a second what the practice is, was completely legal. When the Florida Highway Patrol pulls someone over on the highway, it's usually because they're speeding. But Eric Campbell was pulled over and ticketed while he was driving the speed limit. Campbell says, "I was coming up to Veterans Expressway and noticed two Highway Patrol cars sitting on the side of the road in the median with the lights off." Campbell says he did what he usually does. He flashes his lights on and off to warn drivers coming the other direction that there was a speed trap ahead. According to Campbell, 60 seconds after passing the trooper, they were on my tail, and they pulled me over. Campbell says the FHP trooper wrote him a proper for improper flashing of high beams. Campbell says the trooper told him that what he had done was illegal, but later Campbell learned that this was not the case. He filed a class action suit, which says that Florida Statute 316.2397, which was under which Campbell was cited, does not prohibit the flashing of headlights as a means of communication, nor does it in any way reference flashing of headlights or the use of high beams. They're just ticketing people on a fake number.
Wow.
And I want you to think about this, people.
And nobody checks into it.
Right.
Except this one guy.
if a highway patrol person were to pull you over and say you can't wear a green hat while operating a motor vehicle and cites you under section 947.21AB72, I mean, really, what are you going to think? You're like, okay. I didn't know that crap.
I think nearly everyone would say that. Okay, what am I going to do?
Right. And, I mean, the green hat one is obviously a reductum ad absurdum. But in this case of flashing the high beams, there's... Really?
Have you ever had a new car or maybe a rental and you were trying to figure out where the high beams were and you flashed some stuff around? And I mean,
I suppose I've done that, but I've definitely flashed my headlights at people coming because there are cops back there.
You rebel.
I do it all the time because I don't want people to get tickets.
Yeah,
I think it's, you know, I mean,
it's a decent human being thing to do.
I've got a fuzz buster in my dash, I know that the cops are coming up. What's the difference between me warning somebody that they're coming up? I mean, I just don't understand this.
Sure. Sure.
However, the FHP trooper who wrote the ticket either didn't know or didn't care. You could tell in his voice he was upset, Campbell says. He was professional, he wasn't rude, but you could tell he was irritated. However, the lawsuit says that the Florida Highway Patrol is well aware that they are wrongfully applying the state law, and they are doing it as a means of generating revenue. In 2005, a court order was even issued saying the state law doesn't prohibit the flashing of vehicle headlights. Campbell isn't the only one. Since 2005, FHP records show that more than 10,000 drivers have been cited under the statute. This is, you know, since 2005. This, people, is your rule of law. This is what people are always talking about. This is a nation of laws. Like hell, it's a nation of laws. When the highest law in
Florida...
Laws
for you, not laws for them.
...tells the FHP that they can't do something, and then they do it 10,000 times after that, there is no rule of law. And, I mean, there's circumstance after circumstance after circumstance in situations like this, and I find it so annoying when people say these things. And, you know, if this was a rule of law, if you're going to claim that this nation is built on the rule of law, you should be able to cite that. And you can't cite it because I can cite all kinds of instances against it. If this is a nation of laws, you can say that they're all laws, certainly, but the idea would be that they would be then enforced evenly. All there has to be is one variation from that for that to not be true. Either laws are even or they are not. And everybody knows that cops don't cite cops. Everybody knows that politicians don't have to follow the law.
I've heard you make that point very convincingly when callers bring it up and say, this is a nation of laws, right?
Yeah. I mean, they just repeat the things that they've heard. Let's go to Kurt in New Hampshire here real quick. Kurt. Kurt in New Hampshire.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to talk about car seats because I'm one of those people who actually put my kid in the front seat.
Mm-hmm.
I had to disable the airbag. The reason for the rules about not having kids in the front seats was because of airbags. First, they made a rule about having airbags, made it a law you had to have them. Then kids started getting killed from the airbags. They said, well, you got to make a law that says kids only in the back seat. But, of course, there are some cars without back seats.
Yes.
But then they had to make a law saying you can have a kid in the front seat if the airbag is disconnected, but you can only disconnect it by law. And the whole thing was just a mess. So I pulled the plug on the airbag and put my kid in the front seat so I could talk to her.
Are you in a vehicle that has more than just two seats, just front seats?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, SUV.
An SUV. So you have disabled the airbag for the safety of your daughter, and you allow her to ride up front with you. Do you use one of those little booster upper seats?
The unambiguous law is that the kid has to be in a car seat until they're 80 pounds or 8 years old or some combination of
that. Is it 80 pounds?
Was in North Carolina anyway.
Okay.
No, I remember when I was a kid, maybe it does vary by state, but I just remember a couple of times when I was a young person that the law changed. Like, first they had to be facing the front, and then they had to be facing the back of the car, and then the weight limit changed, and I remember
it's a perfect example of intervention. The first intervention creates problems that cause the second intervention to seem reasonable, which causes more problems, so they have to intervene again and again until you get this morass of laws over which you really can never be certain you're following the law, and it's applied arbitrarily.
Yeah,
and the difficulty is they go and they cite you for this rather than sort of bringing you up on the law, telling you what it is. They cite you for this and
usually
you have to pay for it.
I would bet that usually they're only going to cite someone for this kind of thing if they get into some catastrophe of a car accident. And then it's like, well, your kid was facing the back instead of the front, so. I mean, how else would they find out?
I can tell you, my wife was petrified over the whole thing. I think the rule was 2 years old, the child could be turned around or something like that.
Uh-huh.
I decided when Jack was 1 year old, 1 year and 10 months, that we were going to turn him around because I had to take the thing out or something like that, and his legs were getting all bunched up against the seat, and it was it was uncomfortable for him. He didn't like being in the seat, and so I just turned it around. It just made her crazy with anxiety that we were turning that kid around 2 months before it was legal. Now, I ask you this.
Wow.
How is a state police officer in the state of New Hampshire going to look back there and say, that child isn't 2 years old? That child looks more like 1 year and 10 months. I mean, it's not like you're obligated to carry a birth certificate for these children. But I mean, just shows to show how ludicrous the law is. You say, he's 2 year old. He's 2 years old. His birthday was last week. What are you going to do about it, pal?
They would ticket you, and then they would probably put the burden on you to prove that he was actually 2 years old. And that's one of the problems, because then they can create so much extra work for you and place this burden on you to prove that you're innocent. Basically.
Well, he should have to do some investigation. Do a little police work, pal, and find out whether or not the kid is under two. Kurt?
Yeah, burden of proof has been completely turned around in the United States. That's for sure.
Absolutely the truth. So it's 80...
one more thing. The folks in the chat room really like to know who the girl is who's sitting in front. Excuse me, the woman is who's sitting in front of the.
Not allowed to say girl around here.
You're allowed to do whatever you want.
This is Allie. Wave, Allie.
May I say the pretty blonde?
Indeed, you may. Real quick, Allie, just say hi into the microphone.
Hi, everyone.
There you go.
Allie's just sitting in the studio and observing the show. Free Talk Live, 855-450-3733.
The Ruger.
LC9, compact, powerful, and perfect for personal protection. The LC9 is only slightly larger than the popular Ruger LCP, features a checkered grip frame to provide a secure and comfortable grip, and includes a finger grip extension floor plate. The LC9 also has a dovetailed high visibility 3-dot sight system, blued alloy steel barrel, manual safety, and loaded chamber indicator. The LC9, another innovative American-made product from Ruger. Learn more about the Ruger LC9 at Ruger.com/LC9.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. Are you looking for a concealed carry holster? Crossbreed Holsters is the home of the world-famous Super Tuck, the most comfortable concealed carry holster on the market today. Try one out and see how truly discreet and comfortable carrying concealed can be. And find out why we call it the ugliest holster you'll ever love. We are the standard others try to imitate.
Get the original. Get your Super Tuck at CrossbreedHolsters.com. Again, that's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, August 26, 2011. Gold opens this morning at $1,771.30. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,814.89, $907.44 for a half ounce, or $453.72 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,814.89, $907.44, and $453.72.
Gold isn't for you? Hi, I'm Ted Anderson, and I get it. You wouldn't buy gold if you believed the government is doing a great job, the Fed will stop handing out trillions like bailout candy, but that's not what's happening. If all looks rosy, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked while gold has risen 1,600%. Savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well. Free. Call 800-686-2237. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver. UtopiaSilver.com or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com. Taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live, 855-450-3733. That's the SACL toll-free call-in line. 855-450-3733. Social Security versus private retirement accounts. Professor Anthony Davies analyzes Social Security through the lens of a typical 22-year-old American, assuming Social Security is completely solvent, which doesn't seem very likely, the expected return on investment is far lower than a private account. you can go see this video, and just the explanation, it's amazing when you can see Anthony Davies working with these graphs and showing you the difference between, say, putting the same amount into a Social Security account versus being forced to use the government's account. You'll be extraordinarily motivated. And you can share this video with your friends and family. You can put it on Facebook, share it with your friends. Go to learnliberty.org/FTL. It's learnliberty.org/FTL. While you're there, check out the Liberty Academy link on the right. It's a course for people who want free online continuing education, economics, philosophy, liberty, and rights. learnliberty.org/FTL. Let's go to Vince in Indiana. Vince.
Hello, Mark and Stephanie. How are you folks doing tonight?
All right.
Hey, thanks, Vince.
I wanted to push or state something here. With the Florida Highway Police or Florida Highway Patrol, the officers were doing is wrong. But I think this points up more of a need because you've talked about various police, state police, local police departments. I think this points up the need to be going back to where the Constitution and a locally or a sworn local sheriff, because the sheriff is the duly elected officer of the law by the county and all states, because he is he or she is accountable to the people in that jurisdiction, not the police, not the state police. You know, if you just turn the words around, state police, it becomes police state.
Well, I'd say that that's more true, that it appears to be true until you realize how many sheriffs are corrupt and then how, and you know, messed up the whole, you know, the whole idea of democracy, you know, a representative democracy really working. I mean, you know, I've read stories and certainly heard many more cases of sheriffs being, you know, being you know, the major drug dealer in town.
Yeah.
You know, guys being so corrupt that, you know, there is no way to get around them. But somehow or another, they just keep getting elected. And I don't know whether it's payoffs or people just don't know.
Are all sheriffs always elected, or are some of them appointed?
I think they're almost all elected.
Okay. I can't really remember the last time. I guess I don't pay much attention to these things anyway, but I can't remember the last time there was an election for a sheriff that I knew about.
There was one in town, I think it was last year, here that, you know, I voted in. And once again, it's
did your vote make a difference?
Well, I don't know. I didn't see whether or not it was one vote separating.
Yep.
But, you know, this is one of those circumstances where you're choosing between the lesser of two evils. You know, there's a guy that was running that I consider to be a really bad choice against the incumbent. And, you know, I put a sign out for the incumbent, whom I don't know very well and have had altercations with in the past. And, you know, this is not a guy that I am on the side of or anything like that. But this other guy was just really bad. Vince, you got anything else?
Well, the other solution I have for lots of elections is none of the above. I mean, that's been pushed by the Libertarian Party.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
None of the above wins. The office isn't filled.
Yeah,
that's not going to go through.
Indeed, it's
more elections been canceled.
Indeed, it's not
canceled, but they've had elections, you know, where they didn't get enough, or that nobody voted for somebody.
Yep.
And then they hold another election.
That's right.
Yeah.
What Vince is referencing here is that, you know, libertarians have wanted this none of the above option, so that if they vote in none of the above, that means that nobody fills that option, that position. So if, you know, the president, if somebody elected none of the above in the presidential seat, then there would be no president for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's not going to happen with president, but it has been the situation in many local elections where nobody has cast a vote at all, at which point they will either hold another election, they'll appoint somebody or something like that. Now, we're not talking about mayor or something like that. It's usually some, you know, minor position. It's actually happened in my town where I live, you know, that they had, you know, nobody will run for a position.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of positions that basically there's no pay, and it's your opportunity to be on the cemetery committee or something like that. And you can see why, you know, people don't run for the cemetery committee. There's no flash and sizzle to being on the seminary committee.
Well, lots of people have lives and jobs.
But the cemeteries do need to be taken care of, right? I mean,
yeah, well, actually, funny enough, I mean, I knew some people who lived in Free Grafton, and they had a plan to privately take care of the cemetery, and actually, you know, I guess suggested to someone in the town that they write that item off of the line items on the town's budget you know, for cemetery care because someone would actually do it privately, and I think they were successful.
But people do it mostly when you're talking about libertarians and agorists here. They're doing it for philosophical reasons, and that tends to run out of steam over time. You know, if I decide to take care of the cemetery that's across the street from my house or whatever because it's convenient for me or whatever, I can move, my life changes, my circumstances change or something like that, and then it basically falls back on to the town again because my next-door neighbor is not going to do it because I did it for 5 years.
It probably depends on who's in charge of that particular task.
Until there's a profit motive, it's basically the tragedy of the commons. Somebody has to own it, and if somebody owns it, in this case it's owned by the town, then you know they care for it, and that's really where it all comes from. The town is usually a terrible steward.
You could argue that the town is also the tragedy of commons. The town owning it, so-called, is also the tragedy of the commons because there's no real owner. It's supposedly everybody's, but nobody's, and you know, you can't really go out into the cemetery and have a party there, right? Because you...
I think that it would depend on... I don't know how many people go into the cemeteries to have parties, but I've certainly been to the cemetery at large gatherings. Of course, mm-hmm. There was a dead person involved.
Sure. I'm not talking about a funeral. I mean, I'm talking about just going into there.
I don't know who wants to do that.
I don't live in that world
where people are saying, hey, let's go meet in the cemetery and hang out.
Okay, but theoretically...
Kids drink there sometimes.
You couldn't live there, right? Like, you couldn't set a tent and start camping on the cemetery.
Because you don't own it. The town owns it.
Well, right, but it's supposedly everybody owns it, so...
I don't think that that's true. When it comes to these, you know, these small towns, no,
right.
It's not. I mean, the town owns it.
Right.
They're
responsible for
the administration of it.
I'm just saying that to point out a flaw in the notion of public property, so-called. It's kind of this weird, ambiguous way of owning things where everybody and nobody owns it at the same time.
There are philosophical difficulties in we are all the government and the government owns this piece of land, but it's easily remedied in real life, which is the government is an organization that owns that land and they decide what the use of it is.
And the government people will always take priority in their preferred use,
mm-hmm,
right?
Sure, they will. Mm-hmm. And the difficult part is they steal money from everybody in order to do what it is that they do with their land, as opposed to, you know, trying to come up with means, for instance, the families of the people that are buried there, perhaps they should pay a little money every year to keep the cemetery up instead of the town keeping it up. I mean, doesn't that make sense if you're interred there?
And there are private cemeteries that exist, right? So this is not a crazy, wacky business model. There are lots of private cemeteries.
Absolutely.
And they're paid by maintenance fees from the families who have...
Probably not even maintenance fees as much as just a one-time fee that's put into some kind of escrow account that yields enough interest that somebody can make some money and continue to care for this, you know, sort of a Ponzi scheme, as it were.
Sure.
Free Talk Live, 855-450-3733.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget,
crossbreedholsters.com.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher-safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
You can't argue with success. And many people have found great success in fighting back colds and flu viruses with Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. So now, it's time to get even more success with the other great quality natural products from Affinity Health Products. Like C-Energy Liquid Vitamins, Lose and Snooze, and the One Day Diet. Or Human Growth Hormone Support, Menopause Specialist for Women, and Joint Specialist. See these and many other quality Affinity Health Products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. That's A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y HealthProducts.com. Or call in your orders at 877-888-7126. That's 1-877-888-7126. Trust your health to the makers of Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. Affinity Health Products, the finest and most innovative natural health products available.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's the SACL toll-free call-in line, 855-450-3733. Free Talk Live is and has always just about been brought to you by the Free State Project. Free State Project is an idea of moving 20,000 liberty-loving individuals to one state. That state is New Hampshire. We have done so. There are many things going on, from media, civil disobedience, political action. There's been lots of success in the last 5 years or so since we've moved here to the Free State Project. And I'm really proud to have moved and excited to see what's going to happen in the future. If you're interested in the ideas of liberty, personal freedom, check out the Free State Project. I think that it is one of the best ideas going. As far as it goes, I mean, free. Check it out, freestateproject.org. Now, Stephanie, you said you had an article here that that I want to talk about, and
it's about the costs of war in Afghanistan. And I think that everybody, vaguely at least, knows that the U.S.'s military adventurism has cost taxpayers so much money. Well, actually, it hasn't cost them that yet, because most of the money is borrowed, right? The federal government borrowing money
right,
they don't
have. Right, it's an onus to be paid upon our children and grandchildren.
Yeah, stolen from the unborn, right? Or some of those who were just being born. But, everybody knows that it has a huge monetary cost, as well as, not to mention the cost of human lives. I mean, comparatively few U.S. soldiers have been killed compared to people who are civilians over in the Middle East and Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Libya, everywhere that the U.S. is currently in. But, this article kind of brings a little bit more of that into focus, because it gives some details about exactly how much things cost. And by the way, this is from a Canadian newspaper, so it's a little bit less likely to be biased, I think.
I don't know. I mean, it's going to have...
Everybody has their biases,
yeah,
right?
Everybody has their biases, but I think that you've got to look at newspapers from around the world and try to come up with what you think the truth is out of them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so the dateline is Kandahar. Summer in southern Afghanistan is a blast furnace.
I bet it is.
Temperatures rise over 50 degrees Celsius, and for people who don't understand Celsius, that's really
darn hot.
Really hot.
Oh, well,
120 degrees, something like that.
They take care of that by air conditioning the troops' tents with diesel generators.
Yeah.
And as I understand, diesel fuel is something like $200 a gallon there. I've heard numbers higher, but I haven't heard any lower. So $200 a gallon to put generators on, which are not the most efficient way of producing electricity. If they were, all houses would run on generators.
But when you're spending other people's money, who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah. It's a party at the expense of everybody else.
Right.
Yeah, so air conditioning is what allows the frenzied pace of NATO's war during the fighting season. The price is astronomical. Americans have calculated that in the past 2 years, they have spent $20 billion on AC.
$20 billion on just air conditioning.
Just air conditioning. If you add the rest of NATO, that figure is probably well over $24 billion. That means the coalition forces spend more to keep themselves cool each year than Afghanistan's GNP.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's completely, and most of it comes from Americans. Every drop of fuel, drinking water, and every morsel of food consumed on NATO bases is imported into this landlocked country, most of it trucked in through Pakistan, and the cost is enormous. This year, the U.S. Congress approved $113 billion U.S. dollars for Afghanistan, which is five times Canada's total defense budget. From October 2010.
So, it's the U.S. Congress this year approved a fund five times as large as the Canadians' defense budget
just for Afghanistan.
One of the six wars that they're fighting.
Yeah, I mean, this article is just packed with statistics like this that'll just make your jaw drop. They're just maybe it won't shock libertarians or people who are anti-war, but it.
I didn't know this stuff. I mean, I don't know that I'm shocked. I know that this war, and the thing that one has to keep asking oneself is, what are they hoping to achieve in Afghanistan?
Yeah.
What are they at this point? What are they hoping to achieve?
Well, you got to finish what you started, Mark.
I'm not sure what what we started.
We're in to win it. we got a horse in the race.
Who is we? And what are we going to win when we win? When I go to this fair and I throw a baseball at a pile of bottles, I get a Cupid doll. What do I get when we win this war?
Well, we're liberating them.
Who's we?
I give up. It's hard to play a
scene. The ones that are piled, dead bodies are piled like cordwood. Did they win liberty too?
I don't think so.
They're liberated from their bodies.
Yeah.
What's
well, you got to break a few eggs to make an omelet.
There you go.
Yeah.
you got to have silly, trite little aphorisms like this in order to.
All they do is just shut off discussion. I mean, it's meant to shut off people's brains. There's no logic behind them. They don't make any sense when you start to ask questions. But anyway, so
not trying to make an omelet.
From October 2010 to May, the U.S. alone spent $1.5 billion on 329 million gallons of fuel to operate its generators, vehicles, and aircraft in Afghanistan. So only in Afghanistan, $1.5 billion on fuel just to operate everything. This works out to be $4.55 per gallon, which is not excessive, but it does not include the high cost of getting that fuel through a war zone. So this is just the cost of the fuel, not the cost to transport it in.
Okay, because I heard it was $200.
Right.
This is the thing, is so you can only believe what you read in these newspapers, and I've heard $200 a gallon.
It says that according to Stars and Stripes, which is a military magazine, that increased the price tenfold. So 10 times $4.55.
Yes,
$45 a gallon. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I would guess in some of the more dangerous areas, the price goes up to transport it, right?
Yeah, maybe it's on average. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know.
Yeah,
as a matter of fact, now that I think about it, the story that I'm thinking about was written about a particular forward base.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I drew a conclusion that the price for fuel at
Well,
that
and I'm also not clear if this is in Canadian dollars because this is a Canadian article. So
are they about the same right now?
Approximately.
Yeah.
Anyway, Western companies have the transportation contracts and they pay Afghans security companies to assure the safety of the shipments.
Which means these security companies are gangs of people that would otherwise be shooting at us.
Yeah.
So this is just payoff money to Al-Qaeda, essentially.
Afghan security companies, often owned by warlords and prominent government officials, pay Taliban leaders not to attack them. And in this way, Western money helps support the insurgency.
Yes. So don't attack us while we're bringing the fuel there. Attack. You know, you can attack us once we go on patrol.
It's crazy. I mean, this story is just out of this world. I mean, I'm just shocked to hear some of I'm not surprised, but I'm shocked, you know.
I think that these numbers are always interesting when we're talking about, you know, budget deficits and things like that. I think that we could probably really put a big dent in the budget deficit if we just got out of these people's country. There's nothing to be had there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point. You know, I mean, I guess the best argument one can make is that it'll create a vacuum. that will propagate terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
What they don't say is, well, it's already propagating terrorism because, you know, when you fight a war, you have to kill people. When you kill people, you piss people, other people off.
Right.
When you piss those people off, they want to be terrorists. Plus the fact that this war is inexorably attached to the one in Pakistan.
Yes.
In Pakistan, the hardliners, who are in the government in many cases, get very upset with these wars, people being killed, innocents being killed. I mean, the numbers are, you know, the numbers are very high, sometimes 20 to 1 civilians to terrorists, depending on who you listen to. But I'm sure that the terrorists are listening to the 20 to 1 number.
Sure.
The CIA will tell you, we haven't killed a civilian in Afghanistan for 2 years. They're obviously crazy if they would say that. I mean, how can you be that efficient at killing terrorists? And what this does, and so of course the other side gets pissed off. And if these hardliners in Pakistan, who are some of whom are in the government, just say, "Hey, terrorist, Mr. Terrorist, here's yourself a nuclear weapon. Go have fun with them, United States folks." Tell me that that's not propagating terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, just get out of these people's country. Let what happen. Allow people to trade freely. Allow them to put their own governments together.
Yeah. I'm so embarrassed that I get lumped into this we of America, you know, bombing people all over the world, you know, sending these unmanned drones, doing all these horrible meddling things. I don't want to be connected to it at all. You know, I would like to divorce myself from the federal government.
Yeah, it's not real interested in that.
Yeah, so real quick, given the high cost and vital importance of fuel, you would think the military would not want to waste it. Not at all. High-ranking officers such as Canadian General, who's in charge of packing and moving Canadian equipment out of Kandahar, are driven around in the base by armored Toyota Land Cruisers with V8 engines and their own drinking water coolers.
Sweet.
Wow.
Nice to be the king. Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE.
A congressman recently revealed that legislation totaling 2,900 pages and involving more than $1 trillion was available to members of Congress for less than 48 hours to study and consider. That's over 60 pages of legislation per hour. Do you think anyone read the entire bill? I'm Jim Babka with DownsizeDC.org. Consider a proposal buried in a 3,200-page, $388 billion bill, which would have empowered committee chairmen or their agents to examine Americans' tax returns. When this horrible provision came to light, no one claimed to know how it got into the bill. One congressman questioned said, "I didn't write it. I didn't approve it. I wasn't even consulted." If your attorney represented you this way, he might be disbarred. But this is how Congress represents you every day. That's why DownsizeDC.org has created the Read the Bills Act. You can force Congress to read their bills before they pass them at DownsizeDC.org.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
OpticsPlanet.com is where discerning gun owners and outdoorsmen go to gear up. OpticsPlanet has the best selection of rifle scopes, red dots, night vision, holsters, bags, and tactical gear on the planet. With always low prices, free shipping on most orders, and expert customer service. Go to OpticsPlanet.com/GCN to get a free gift with purchase. That's OpticsPlanet.com/GCN. Or call 800-332-OPTICS. 800-332-6784.
Democrats
Democrats, Republicans, have you had enough? Want real change? Then change yourself. Join a new political party formed to liberate the American people from the banksters who have overthrown the Republic. If you agree with maximum liberty, limited government, and traditional morality, then you agree with American Third Position. Get more information now. Call 800-513-4928 or go to a3p.me. That's A, the number 3, p.me. It's time to take America back.
Ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to HerbalHealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver. The best pharmaceutical grade available at all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with you, Himbe, and Super Femplex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 caps, summer sale priced at only $12. Colon Enhancer 250 caps, summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. Log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature one person at a time.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live, 855-453. It's the SACL toll-free call-in line here on Free Talk Live. The live Sunday edition with Mark.
And Stephanie.
You know, not too many live Sunday shows out there on in radio land for the average consumer, but Free Talk Live, we think it's important that you get live content. That's why we do Free Talk Live 7 days a week. Now, that doesn't mean that every host works 7 days a week, Stephanie.
You work 7 days a week, Mark.
I am right now.
Yeah.
Ian has been, well, there's some good reasons for that. Ian, the main host of Free Talk Live, he does Monday through Saturday and usually does not do Sundays, never does Sundays. He is in jail for standing in front of a police car because he felt they were taking a woman, young woman to jail for unjustly. He is in on his 19th day of a 90-day sentence, and I certainly would like to see him back soon. I have had to take over sort of all business at Free Talk Live and make sure that everything's running properly because I normally have a business partner in Ian. He's away for up to 90 days or more for that matter. Who knows? I mean, if they've got other charges
on,
they
could, trials, you know, coming up.
It's good for doing other civil disobedience. So anything could happen. But I have to run this. I could choose to take nights off. Lots of people have volunteered to help me with being on the air, and that's how Free Talk Live operates, is we have lots of different hosts. We don't call it the Mark and Ian Show for a reason. But, you know, my wife's away, and this isn't like it's really work. I sit down and talk and do the same things that I would normally do, which is talk about the ideas of liberty. I mean, you know, there was a hurricane, supposedly, that rolled through New Hampshire today. I mean, the hurricane that wasn't really much. I did see one tree limb down. And, you know, so what would I be doing otherwise? I'd be sitting at home with the dog watching TV. Not really that exciting. I'd much rather do this. This is, my real work is done Monday through Friday by making telephone calls to advertisers to get them to advertise on Free Talk Live. And that's where the real work is involved. And that's how we make paychecks around here, is through advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have a program that allows people that believe strongly in what Free Talk Live does, which is bring the message of liberty to people who otherwise would never hear it. We bring that message to them, and we bring it in a hopefully entertaining fashion. Those folks often join the AMP program. The AMP program is a program that we've set up that we use the money of people that have, subscribers, essentially, to our commercial-free podcast. We offer a commercial-free podcast to the amplifiers, and we use their money, $3 a month on up, depending on what they want to contribute to advertise, market, and promote Free Talk Live, to do the sort of the business end of it, the things that we may not otherwise be willing to spend our own money on as far as advertising. It's hard, right? It's hard to say, oh yeah, I'd like to spend $1,000 a month on a Talkers Magazine ad, because I don't have any place I could use that $1,000 a month in my real life if that was my paycheck, and Ian and I would kick in, say, $500 a piece to do that. That's difficult to do. But the amplifiers, they give their money for specific reason. It's not available for paychecks, so we always use it for these kind of things, and that makes it a lot easier. So if you're interested in the AMP program, get signed up. If you've been listening to the podcast for years, this is your opportunity. You know, do the right thing, sign up for the AMP program, or promote Free Talk Live in some manner. It's amp.freetalklive.com.
And also promote.freetalklive.com has free ways to help promote the show, too.
That's right. And you know, during this time when Ian's away, the AMP program is a really great way to show your support for Free Talk Live, so show your solidarity with Ian, because, frankly, stuff costs more now that Ian's away. I mean, he was a lot of labor, and he's not doing it any longer.
Yes, indeed. Anyway, so continuing on with this article that really hammers home the costs of the Afghanistan war. And by the way, the U.S. is in more than one war right now, not just Afghanistan.
Depending on who you ask, there's 3 to 6.
Well, none of them declared, right? I mean,
right.
So it's not
none of them are really declared. If you know, Afghanistan certainly is a big conflict. Iraq, there are 50,000 troops there, and it was the most violent month in Iraq last month or something like that. You really can't say that war's over.
No way.
Somalia, Yemen. It looks like Syria is going to start,
but
Libya, I can't count, you can't actually count Syria, and Pakistan also. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's a different country, even though it's the same conflict, essentially. You know, it's a different thing going on.
Yeah, something's not working. I mean, I think if your goal is
violence
war,
and then, coercion is
yeah,
not working.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so continuing on with this article from the Montreal Gazette, Afghanistan produces large amounts of fruits and vegetables, but the handling of this food does not meet military health standards. The two main beneficiaries of the food management contracts are an Amsterdam-based company and the U.S. company KBR. They serve up to 4 meals a day. U.S. soldiers seem to have the biggest appetites. They order as many as 8 eggs for breakfast, plus sausage and bacon. Lunch and dinner are a selection of fish, beef, pork, and chicken. Got to make sure they're well-fed for all the killing that they're doing, right?
Well, I mean, you know, I'd want to be well-fed.
Yeah. Hamburgers, hot dogs, and french fries are staples. Dessert consists of ice cream and a selection of cakes and puddings, but a lot of food ends up in the garbage. KBR also has a multi-billion-dollar NATO contract to operate Afghanistan's 3 largest military airfields. War is good business. KBR alone earned $13.1 billion from 2007 to 2009 from its logistics and maintenance operations in the U.S. $13.1 billion. That's quite a lot of money, huh?
Well, you know, they're complaining about nickels and dimes going into the federal whatever, the National Association of the Arts, mm-hmm. and PBS and things like this. And I'm not saying that I think any of those
are right.
Those government programs are right. Yeah. But you're talking about nickels and dimes when you're comparing to numbers like $20 billion. That's a lot of jack.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when you're talking about cutting funds, what this most recent budget crisis thing where they went on in early August where they couldn't come to a conclusion really shows it. If you're not willing to give up other things, you're not going to get what you want. Mm-hmm. And the only fair way is to just give up something, in the federal budget that they're spending on. So if the Republicans are willing to give up, say, funding for the military, oh, well, we're going to drop this conflict in Somalia, drop this conflict here, that, whatever. Then they'd get the cuts from the Democrats that they want in social programs, because really, Medicare is completely unsustainable. There's no doubt about it. Anybody can look at the numbers and say it. But how can the Democrats look at their constituents and their voters and say, yes, we gave the Republicans everything they wanted and we got nothing for you? What do you think, fellas? I mean, obviously that's not going to work. So this is why I consider the ideas of liberty to be the only compromise. Not that I think it's a compromise that's going to work, because politicians don't like to give up funding. But it's the only compromise that has a chance of working.
There's no way that they can cut this waste, because the military and every government bureaucracy is inherently wasteful. They're always going to be lackadaisical with spending other people's money because it's other people's money. And they have an unlimited source of it because they steal it by force. They take it, whether you want them to or not. And they print it. They just create more, right?
Yep.
more ones and zeros and more paper money. So anyway, the vast majority of civilian workers come from outside Afghanistan and have to be rotated through on tours. They pay no taxes to the Afghan government. And according to the U.S. government, the annual cost of keeping a soldier in Afghanistan. Want to take a guess?
The annual cost of keeping a soldier in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I'm going to go for $250,000. That's an expensive employee.
It's actually $667,000.
That's a damn expensive employee.
Yeah.
So now remember, United States citizen, this is your employee, supposedly. This is a government official, a private in the military, or whatever he is. $660,000 is what you pay to keep this guy on the job.
Yeah. Two-thirds of $1 million.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
I mean, there's a savings to be had here. Yeah. And just, let's just give it up.
And
there's nothing to be had in Afghanistan or Pakistan or Iraq or any of these things that is going to benefit you and me. Remember,
just wanton destruction. That's all it is.
I don't know if you, it's not wanton destruction in the sense that the military industrial complex, this is how they make money. So that, why they want this. But do you remember in the Iraq war? I mean, initially, I remember before it, we were kind of pitched sort of subversively, not through the politicians, but this is one of the things that say, Republicans would say to each other, hey, at the very least, we can get some cheap oil out of it. We'll have some cheap gas prices out of it.
Yeah.
Well, really?
Have you gotten that?
That sure didn't
How's
work out.
How's your gas
out.
Looking?
And I've got to say that I remember thinking that. Well, at the very least, we'll get some lower-priced gas because essentially we'll steal it from them. It'll be ours and not theirs.
Well, a lot of people allege that was one of the major reasons for going to war in the Middle East in the first place, and I don't know if that's true, but...
It certainly didn't result in lower gas prices.
It certainly didn't, yeah. And... people also perpetrate this myth that war is good for the economy. Really, the only thing it's good for is the state. I mean, it's the broken window fallacy.
Yeah.
If money is being spent on the military, on bombs and destruction and stuff like that, it can't be spent on
right. Bombs
on
are something you buy that blows up and goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And if destruction is good for if destruction is good for the United States' economy, then it should be good for your own personal economy. So go outside and set your car on fire. It'll be good for your economy.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's not good for the economy. Buying things that you blow up is not good for the economy. Blowing up other people's things is not good for their economy. All it does is create destruction.
Yeah. Not good.
Thanks for listening. It's been Free Talk Live. Mark with you.
And Stephanie.
Well, a live Sunday edition. We'll be back same here next week, and you can listen anytime in the meantime at freetalklive.com. We're live from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and there's audio being played around the clock otherwise. freetalklive.com.
You know the U.S. dollar is devaluing. You can see it happening every day. You know a new currency will take over at some point. Wouldn't you like to be in on the ground floor? Bitcoins. They're a decentralized, anonymous internet currency. They're free to use, free to accept, and free from inflation forever. You can use them anywhere in the world, and their value seems only to be increasing. Find out more at weusecoins.org. Don't be kicking yourself in the pants in a month. Your dollars are going down. Bitcoins are going up. Weusecoins.org.
As a smoker, you know traditional cigarettes are unhealthy, and the taxes be the very beast stealing your freedom to smoke. That's why the Vapor Station offers an assortment of electronic cigarette kits. Each rechargeable, refillable kit is an effective, affordable alternative to smoking. No combustion, no tar, no foul lingering odors, and no smoke, secondhand or otherwise. Just inhale pure enjoyment and exhale vapor. Take a puff just about anywhere without getting hassled. Get your e-cigarette kit now at VaporStation.com.